For 21 years, Kristen has been the biggest blessing in my life, and it has been my pleasure to share her with all of you this year.
From watching her serve as a state FFA officer to attending classes with her in college, I've always looked to Kristen for direction. She's patient and humble, she's calm and faithful, but most importantly, love radiates from her.
My sister has always been one to take the road less traveled. From her first rodeo to her first day of ag class, she has cultivated opportunities and exceeded even her own expectations. She has grown to become the passionate and dedicated woman that's here with us today. She is ever steadfast and consistently full of faith. You know, through the years, one thing has never changed about her. She has always found the promise of a positive outcome through every challenge she has faced.
Now, I'm legally blind, so it's often difficult for me to see when someone's approaching me. Often, I can't tell who they are. Last year, at state convention back in Colorado, I was standing in an open area when all of a sudden I noticed someone coming towards me. And it wasn't until she wrapped her arms around me in a silent hug that I realized that, yes, it was Kristen. Now, how could I tell? Because as I hugged her, I felt only an emblem on the back of her FFA jacket. That was my favorite hug of all time, and I'm proud to call Kristen one of my best friends and biggest role models.
Now, it is our great honor to introduce with her retiring address entitled Take a Seat, my sister.
And my dear friend, our National Central Region Vice President, Kristen Schmidt.
It's a matter of horsepower, for 8 seconds or miles an hour. That's the way I am, and it's a fact I can't ignore. Yeah, big four-legged, fuel-injected, running wild, radar detected. A man can always stand a little bit more horsepower.
Section A, row 4, seat 12, was almost perfect. From this seat, I experienced my very first country music concert. Third desk from the left, smack dab in front of the whiteboard. From this seat, for the first time, I experienced the joy of learning. Relaxing in my camp chair, securely positioned on the hay rack atop my family's horse trailer. From this seat, my sister and I talked about horses, strategy, school, life, and our futures as we watched the sun come up on a beautiful county fair morning. Take a seat. On average, we spend about 64 hours a week seated. That's 3,328 hours a year, and almost 263,000 hours in a lifetime. Seems pretty simple, right? And with that much practice, we should be professionals. But what if that chair, if this seat had a greater story to tell? What if it was more about a firm foundation and less about what's comfortable? More of a tool and less of a convenience. You know, we are constantly being bombarded by news. Think about it. Twitter, Facebook, apps on our phone, live feed on our computer. With the swipe of a finger, we can be reading a story from halfway around the world. The sheer amount of information can make us kind of desensitized. With all of that information coming at us, it's easy to find ourselves aimlessly scrolling, with our eyes pointed in one direction, and our mind wandering somewhere else. But as I scrolled the other day, there was a story that caught my attention. It was about two men named Paul and Silas. They worked for a nonprofit organization and did a lot of community outreach in local villages. As their organization grew, they realized it was time for them to start traveling to expand its reach. So they loaded up their stuff and headed for a village that they had never been to before. They'd been working in that village for several days when, out of nowhere, they were approached by armed guards, thrown in prison, and chained into their cells. They found out during the booking process that the local government was not a fan of the work that they had been doing and saw fit to wrongfully accuse them of treason and disturbing the peace. Now, I don't know about you all, but when somebody wrongfully accuses me of something, even if it's my sister wrongfully accusing me of taking the last Cheeto, all of my attention is turned to that situation, right? We gotta make sure that everybody knows there's no Cheeto dust on my hands and I didn't do anything wrong. And we could have expected the same behavior from those two gentlemen. But their actions could not have been further from that expectation. Instead of abandoning their message, they started sharing it more. They believed so much in the power of the work that they did that they intentionally built relationships with the people around them. They continued to share their message and share their message and share their message, and after only 3 days, that foreign prison was alive with a buzz of joy that was absolutely unexplainable. Those gentlemen spent time establishing a core. They had spent years refining their message, learning how to interact with people and build relationships. And when things didn't go their way, when trouble hit, they had no problem holding fast to that firm foundation. We have all experienced that moment when the pressure is on. Maybe our coach throws us in the game at the last minute. There's seconds on the clock and we are in dire need of a score. Maybe it's a big concert with our band, or even a moment when we're faced with a challenging moral decision. But we all know that games are not won as the buzzer sounds. It's in those late nights spent practicing the perfect shot. Performances are not mastered in front of an audience on a big stage. It's in those extra rehearsals spent going over and going over and going over that challenging piece of music. Exams are not aced on test day when we flip to the first page. It's in those hours we commit after class studying and committing that information to memory. In everything we do, we must establish a firm foundation. But as athletes, musicians, high school students, leaders, and FFA members, that foundation should be something deeper than a mental or physical skill that we've worked to master. We must intentionally work each day, each moment, each interaction to establish a firm foundation of morals, beliefs, and values that we are wholly committed to. The functionality of a chair depends on the strength of its foundation. Uneven legs, weak supports, a broken seat all compromise that strength and leave that chair with little purpose. Now, we all know we live in a world that constantly pushes and pulls on us to say specific things or act in a certain way. But those choices are wholly our own. So right now, in this moment, what's the condition of your foundation? Is it solid or uneven? Is it shifting or unshakable? Will you let worldly forces compromise its strength? Or will you hold fast to what you know to be true and completely rest the weight of your life on that firm foundation? In January, my teammates and I hopped on a plane and 12 hours later, we're dropped off in the beautiful country of Japan. We immediately started experiencing Japanese agriculture. We saw the sights, and we even had the pleasure of riding the Tokyo subway system, which is cozy to say the least. I was cruising through the trip pretty carefree until we got to the midway point. It was time to be fully immersed in Japanese culture, and I was not convinced that I was ready. As the train pulled into the station, my heart began to beat faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. The directions on our itinerary said, arrive via train, head to the high school, hop in the car with the family of complete strangers, and head home with them. Sounds solid, right? Wrong! I was freaking out! That was not good enough for me. I didn't know who these people were. For all intents and purposes, they were strangers. All I knew is they had a really long last name, a daughter who was a member of the Future Farmers of Japan, that they were in charge of me for the next few days. No thank you. But with little to go on, and literally no other options, my teammates and I said a quick round of goodbyes and headed off with our families. Once I was in the car with my host mom and my host sister, I learned that my host sister Nana's favorite subject in school is horticulture. However, I also learned that English was not one of her best subjects, nor was it her mom's, or her dad's, or little sister's, or grandma's, or grandpa's. Sweet, it's gonna be a great few days. With that kind of standing between us, our conversations in the car looked a little something like this. Nana would pull out her cell phone, type something into her translator app, hand it to me, I'd read it, and read it again. Try and answer her question, and the process would go over and over and over again. I remember one time she whipped out her phone, was super excited, grin beaming across her face, typed the question, handed it to me. I looked down at the question she was so excited about, and it read, how is your circulation? Well, you know, last time I went to the doctor, my blood pressure was right around 120 over 80, so thank you so much for asking. I knew that her question really had nothing to do with my cardiovascular health, so I told her I didn't understand, handed her back the phone, and she and her mom proceeded to chat in Japanese for a few moments, and then we tried again. That process went on for the entire 45-minute drive home, and I'm still not sure we ever got to the bottom of what question she was trying to ask me. But as we pulled into the driveway, she translated something about food, and that is a language I totally understand. We unloaded my bags and headed for the door. As we got there, the entire Muramatsu family was there to greet me. Grandma, grandpa, little sister, dad, the whole clan. Before I knew it, I wasn't carrying any of my bags, and I was inadvertently being pushed towards the kitchen. Now, you know that moment when you walk into grandma's house, or maybe it's an aunt, maybe it's even just your favorite restaurant, and the smell of supper is in the air. Oh yeah, we know that moment. It's filling the entire house, and we know that it's gonna be a good day, because good food is always the start to a good day. Yeah, this wasn't one of those moments. I walked into the kitchen and took a look at the table, and my eyes were the size of silver dollars, no joke. As I turned away, I was trying to hide the grimace on my face, and out of the corner of my eye, I caught my host grandpa, Satomi, who was standing in the corner with my host mother behind him, arms outstretched, huge smile beaming across his face, because he was holding about 2 pounds of ground beef hamburger patties, and my host mom was saying something about American food. I took a big old sigh of relief and turned back towards the dinner table to figure out where my seat was. Now, it wasn't hard to figure out where the American was supposed to sit, because on one side of my plate there was a pair of chopsticks, and on the other side there was an awkwardly large fork. We finished our meal, and by the end of supper, my host mother, Megumi, and my host sister, Nana, escorted me upstairs to my traditional-style Japanese sleeping room that was untraditionally stocked with enough snacks and candy to feed several college kids for an entire week. I spent the whole next day with my host sister, and that night we actually went into town for supper, so we ate at an Italian restaurant in the mall. After we finished our meal, my host dad decided it would be a good idea to challenge little sister Kana and I to an air hockey tournament. And to keep that story short, we showed him how it was done. The rest of my time with the Muromatsu family was spent watching home videos of Nana dancing and going to swim practice with Kana. As I think back on it now, I can't help but smile. How could a place so far away feel so much like home? When I jumped in the car with my family for the first time, all I could see were barriers. We were separated by an entire ocean, language, religion, culture, food, and the list goes on and on and on. But the more time I spent with the Muromatsus, the more I realized our perspective couldn't be more different. Where I saw obstacles, they saw opportunities to love and serve me. And I realize now that their actions were not an accident. Those conversations between Megumi and Nana in the car were intended to create conversation for me, to make me feel more comfortable. The fork and hamburger patties at dinner showed how much they cared about where I'd come from. And the snacks in my room showed how much Megumi pays attention to the little things. They shared memories of the past and allowed me to be a part of creating some for the future. My host mother knew that there would be barriers between us. But instead of allowing those barriers to shape the course of our time together, she set her mind to breaking them down with the most effective tool she had, unshakable love. Now, folks, we don't have the luxury of living a life without barriers. Even here in our own country, there are things that separate us. Things like economic status, political views, maybe the things we like, the things we don't like, even our beliefs and our values are different. But we don't have to let those differences stand in the way of us showing love and serving the people around us. As FFA members, athletes, leaders, school members, friends, we must intentionally work each day to seek out opportunities to love and serve the people around us. Four legs, one seat. It's mobile, it's sturdy. Share looks pretty straightforward, but it could mean so much more. What if this chair represented our morals and beliefs, the things that we hold closest to our heart, those values? Are we keeping our chair in sight, but not really paying much attention to it? Is it to say, yeah, at one point I felt convicted about the things I believe, but now those things are just old-fashioned? Are we maybe standing near our chair, leaning on it when times get hard, and walking away from it when we feel like we can do it on our own? Because we know how important it is to have a solid set of core values, but sometimes it is extremely inconvenient. So we use them when we need them, and abandon them when we feel like we can do it on our own? Or are we intentionally choosing each day to take a seat, wholly resting the weight of our life on that firm foundation and acknowledging that our identity, who we are, the things we do, the people we become, is a direct result of how committed we are to establishing a firm foundation? Folks, that foundation is critical. But the world we live in makes it hard to stand firm. It's easy to be swept away by things that capture our eyes and take a hold of our hearts. But things like popularity, Instagram likes, fancy clothes, pretty cars are all fleeting. And if we rest our identity on those temporary things, eventually they'll fade away. We'll be left standing on shifting ground with no anchor holding us in place. We must stand firm. The physical act of sitting in that chair seems relatively simple, but holding fast to that firm foundation and using that foundation to love others is far from it. We may experience times when it's hard to stand firm. It's easier to take a hold of what's popular or what will get us instant results, to compromise our true identity for one that better fits the current situation. There may even be times when we are called to love and serve people who have beliefs that are starkly different than our own. But nowhere is it written that in order for me to love you, I must agree with or affirm all of your behavior. We may even encounter times when it's easier to pull back than to put ourselves in a place of constant community. And when those challenging times come, what action will you take? Will you hold fast, anchoring your life on what you know to be true and setting your sights on relentlessly pouring out every ounce of love, joy, compassion, and capacity to serve that you possess? Or will you retreat back into a lukewarm life of mediocrity and complacency? For the student in section 332, row T, seat 12, you are called to do more. The student on the floor in section 4, maybe it's seat 6, you are called to be more. 301, row G, seat 8, you are called to serve more. Great things are asked of each and every one of us. But in order to be the people who rise up and do, be, and serve more, we must take a seat. So anchor your life on what you know to be true. Build a solid chair. Constantly pour out love. Use it to serve others. Hold fast to your firm foundation and love relentlessly.
When we love, we are the right to speak the truth.
Kristen, you kept us accountable to serve a higher purpose. Your faith has been our foundation. You're such a master with words, perfectly creating what we want to say. You roped our hearts and the hearts of FFA members. With perfect timing, you offered words of motivation and notes of encouragement. Thank you for your encouragement, faith, and foundation. Ladies and gentlemen, our Central Region Vice President, Ms. Kristen Schmidt.
Gonna love you with the truth.